Welcome. You're joining Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. All right, let's do Leo and Harahan. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Leo?
Well, greetings to you, Mr. Ricks and Mr. Parker. I have a Social Security question to ask you guys.
All right.
Well, I've logged on for the first time to my Social Security and set up an account, and I was trying to figure out how to figure out the formula of how much you would know you would get for your retirement. And from what I'm looking at, it talks about so many quarters that you have to have. Is it 10 or 40 quarters or 10 quarters?
40 quarters, 10 years. 40 quarters, 10 years to be eligible. No, that's the first 10 years. Essentially, how they compute it, we'll call it AMI for short. It's a little bit complicated. There's three levels of what consists of your Social Security payments, depending of your Social Security benefit. When you look at your check, it's kind of three-tiered. But what it comes down to is it's based on your best 35 years of work. And if you say had only 25 years of earnings, then averaged in is 10 years of zeros. So you're never, whenever you're retiring, you never are making it worse. You only continue to get better because you're either replacing zeros, or if you're going beyond 35 years, you're probably replacing a lower number of years. By continuing to work, you never make it worse.
Okay. Maybe I'm trying to get this. Is it your best 10 years out of your whole time you're paying Social Security?
Best 35 years. It's your best 35 years.
So you have to have 35 years of pay in to actually collect?
No, you have to have 10 years. Then you're eligible for Social Security benefits. And let's say you had 40 years of work. They're giving you your best 35 years. If you don't have 35 years, but you have more than 10, so whatever you have is also means you're having zeros in there to make up the other years. There's no negative number, no positive. So it has to be zeros because it's the best 35 years. And they average it over the 35 years.
All right. I believe I'm getting it.
Okay. Awesome.
So it sounds like something I'm getting because there's a lot of numbers on there and there's some zeros, as you say. There are some zeros, but there are some great years that I had paid in, some fabulous years, but there's also, as you say, some zeros.
Yeah, so 10 years gets you in the door, and then they're going to scrape through and cherry pick your top 35 years. Look, once you get logged into your Social Security account, if you go to page 2 on your Social Security statement, it'll have what your benefit will be if you turn it on at full retirement age. What if you turn it on as early as you can at age 62? Or what if you wait and max it out till age 70? It'll tell you what those are as it stands right now.
I'm going to help out with a little bit more details. So I referred to AMI. That's the average index monthly earnings. 90% of your average index monthly earnings up to a first bend point. Bend points are income limits set each year based on changes to the average wage index, which is a measure of wage trends. 32% of AMI between the first and second bend point, and 15% of AMI above the second bend point. And that's one of the core things is that first level is super important because it's 90% when I kind of, and let's skip the bend points, call it, there's three tiers. So there's a 90% of average, there's a 32% on the second tier and 15% above the second tier. And when we get to this windfall elimination provision, one of the reasons that it impacts when you're not paying in Social Security, working and such like that. If they were to, it's because of that first tier. there. Makes it unfair because of the percentage that pays out, where somebody has a great pension but can look poor to Social Security because all they're getting is enough earnings on the first tier because they're not paying in much or have not.
All right, so that was Leo from Harahan on last week's show.
That was a lot.
Yeah, we don't usually go that far into the weeds, but if the caller, you know, the situation makes it necessary, you can go into, were you reading off a worksheet? Was that on socialsecurity.gov or ssa.gov?
Neither.
Okay.
A lot of it's just in my head.
All right.
It's what I do every day.
But the Amy stuff, do you have to have that conversation with pretty much everybody?
No.
Yeah. I don't know what happens in the office.
No, sometimes you want to go into the weeds and I was compelled there because of the way he kept asking the question and to repeat it. I said, well, let's give a little bit more information. And sometimes, you know, that's helpful when people are asking about the windfall elimination provision. It is that first tier, the high percentage of the first tier that impacts that so much. And a lot of people don't necessarily know about that breakdown. You know, and basically that's the formula that they use. Does it help you knowing that? Do you have to know that to decide when to turn on Social Security? No, you do not. But it's part of how they come to figuring your average income. But once again, you don't have to go down into the weeds, but you do need to understand it is your best 35 years. If you don't have 35 years, then those years that there's no earnings, zeros are plugged into. So the way it's designed is you are always improving your record because you're either replacing zeros with earnings, or if you do have 35 and continuing to work, you're replacing earlier years. So you're always improving. There's no way you can work and make it worse. You're always improving. You can never make it worse for doing something.
Yeah, and I guess in the rare case where whatever you made last year isn't any better than your top 35 years, then you break even. It doesn't drop one of the better ones off.
The other point could be that you decide to, you know, I'm done, and you may not have 35 years in, but also you could be continuing to replace some early years because basically if you're close to FRA, they're looking at what you're making continuing forward because you're going to say, well, gosh, I retired, I quit working, and didn't turn on Social Security to FRA, but I'm drawing less than what they said I would. Well, because they factor in that you're going to keep making that income going forward. It's a projection, like 5 years forward. They're thinking of it that way. So that means you're either replacing zeros or replacing some of the earlier years that were lower income. So you didn't hurt yourself. They were just expecting you to continue to improve your record. So it's not hurting you by retiring.
All right. Now, how does the spouse stuff factor in this? He was talking about windfall elimination provision.
Yeah. And it falls in regarding spousal, the government offset rules that if your spouse has Social Security benefits and you don't because you did not pay in and your spouse dies, you're not going to draw the survivor Social Security benefits. You can't draw the spousal benefit off the worker's record if you did not get enough quarters in there and you worked for an employer that did not participate in Social Security, typically a state agency.
All right, so if you have a question on how some of this might apply to you and your spouse's situation, or you and your ex-spouse's situation, you and your deceased spouse's situation, 504-260-0995. Cute little article today that was on Fox Business where it had Social Security benefits, three questions that you need to ask before you set up your retirement plan. And the last one was, how does my Social Security decisions affect my spouse? You probably would have put that as the first question, wouldn't you?
When you're married, you have to think about both. It's not just yourself. I know some people do that, make decisions separately. And I think it should be a household decision and a joint decision because I think one making a decision affects the others or could impact how the other spouse makes those decisions. And I think it's important to look at that because you could have a situation of turning on, drawing a spouse a worker's benefit that would later be improved to draw a spousal benefit. But you have to look at those situations. And then when you turn on and when you die, even if you've not turned it on, that worker that passes, their decisions are impacting the survivor spouse. One of the things that people may not quite be aware of is you've not turned it on, but say you die at 68. That's the benefit at death. What you had deferred it to would be what the spouse's eligible benefit for survivor benefit is.
Let's talk to Sonny in Mandeville. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Sonny?
Thank you for taking my call so promptly. I just made 67 years old. I have not applied for Social Security yet. I did talk to the people there, and quite honestly, they're very helpful to answer my questions. But I thought I'd ask this particular one. It's a future question. At 67, obviously, I can make as much as I want and not have to worry about being penalized or whatever. Let's just say for a roundabout number, my number will be $2,500 a month on my retirement from Social Security as it is right now. They say that I have a built-up, I don't know if the word is funds, but they will allow me to take up to $14,000 from the Social Security. They won't just give me the $14,000 because of my age of 67. And they would take $90 a month off of my $2,500 for the rest of my life because I took that $14,000. They say it's like, I don't know if the word is hardship or whatever. But here's the question I'm asking y'all. They do have a cost of living percentage per year. Saying that the gentleman was telling me that sometimes that cost of living is suspended and is usually about 2-4%. I started looking at it, and that's almost $90 a month is what the cost of living would be increase. So it's almost a break even for someone at my age at 20, getting $2,500 a month to take the $14,000. Quite honestly, I don't need the money. I just looked at it and said, well, there's future earnings there. And another comment about it is I just don't have enough confidence in the government before they start George Bush and me and say they're going to privatize this Social Security stuff, and we're all in a big bunch of trouble then. Okay, so I threw that out there. So what do y'all start off with? Give me some opinions and comments on it.
I don't think you have to worry about it being privatized or going away. What you're talking about at the core there is the retro benefit. Basically, you can be in that year past your FRA if you're say, for example, you're 6 months past your FRA or beyond that, you can go back and get retro benefit of the previous 6 months. And and you'll get 6 months back pay. But what they talked about on that $90 is, yeah, you're going back 6 months, and that's your turn-on point going forward in that case. Now, jumping forward to the COLA, well, because of what's happened this year, there may not be a COLA increase. And we've talked about that over the past couple of weeks. There may well not be a COLA increase this year because of what's happened with COVID and the effects of it. So there's not an increase every year, and it's not a certain, and it's not a given that it's 2-3%. It varies to the government's formula. So I wouldn't hang my hat necessarily on that.
Okay,
now, no matter, no matter when you start it, if you're going to live to age 80, so whether you started at, turn it on at 67, 69, or if you had started at FRA, by the time you're age 80, you will have received all your benefit for that period. You're not losing anything. You're drawing more the longer you wait, and it's more payout, But no matter when you start, you're basically getting equivalent of those benefits by age 80, because everybody kind of equalizes at that point. It's the way it's designed. Now, beyond age 80, if you've deferred, means you're drawing a larger benefit through a longer life expectancy. So depends on what your objective is. I don't necessarily see that as a retro benefit.
Gregory, it's just one of those situations. What would you do? What would you recommend? Take the $90 and keep it and ignore the $14,000?
Well, it sounds like you're still working.
No, I'm not. I haven't worked in 10 years.
Okay.
Years.
So there's a reason you've deferred to this point. So what's the reason you're continuing to wait?
I said that in the beginning. I don't have a lot of confidence in the government. That was my comment.
But you're deferring. So you don't have confidence in the government, but you're deferring.
I know. There's an argument there, and there's not it's a situation where I have to make that choice, and I'm thinking about doing it at 67. You know, I'm thinking about just applying it, because the difference between 67 and 70 is only about $250 a month.
How's your health?
And very good.
Are you married?
No.
Okay. It's a little bit easier decision. It's more about you, and it depends on your health. What do you think your life expectancy is? How far do you think you'll make it past age 80? And that's the thing. If you kind of say, I don't know if I'm going to live much beyond that, then maybe you should turn it on now. If you kind of say, my dad, my great granddad, they all lived to 95. Okay. Then deferring is going to pull you more money longer. You're not in this mindset, I got to turn it on. I need it to pay my bills. I am not picking that up from you, but
no, not a bit. I can.
But at some point, you are going to turn it on, and you're going to be fine. But it's great you're at this point in great health, and we don't know when our button's going to be pushed and ejected from here. But we just, part of this is taking this information and making good decisions. And what you have, and I appreciate your call, because you talked about the retro and the effect of COLA, and that could wash it the first year if this was one of those good years. Mm-hmm. But no, this is 2020. It's one of those asterisks there. So, but you have good choices, and it sounds like you're going to make a sound decision whichever way you go.
My father died at 96, and his mother was 100. So, I'm not saying that. I don't live his lifestyle.
We don't know, but we have a lot more opportunities healthcare-wise than they did as well.
So
there's some balance there, but it gives you something to think about. And heck, 70's only 3 years away.
I realize that. Yeah. Yep. And that's it. No more. You can't do any more with 70. That's it. Taking money out of your pocket, out of your income.
That is it.
Well, I've enjoyed all the years of listening to you too. And thank you so much for the comments. You put it in a very simplified way. I have a broker. He has no idea what you and I just talked about. None. He has no idea. He says, just get in touch with Social Security people. They'll manage it for you. They'll help you through it. I go, what is that? You're managing my money. What are you doing with Social Security? You got to give me some answers. And then he starts hesitating, crawfishing out of the answers. Not happy. So you might get a phone call.
Well, I'm glad we're here for you. That's part of what we do, and we enjoy it. Thank you, Sonny. Appreciate the comments.
All right. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. That's going to be a keeper, Gregory. I have a feeling that one's going to end up on the Winning at Life YouTube channel here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I think there was some good back and forth there.
Great.
It was a good conversation, and it gives people information. And actually, it was interesting because he gave you Social Security's take on the retroactive. And it's almost like they're incurred. It sounded like, and I'm not going to say he said they were, but it just sounded like the way they put it out there. It's kind of like an encouragement and saying, the COLA increase will wash it. Take the lump sum.
It's one of these things that he also explained at the end where he just couldn't get the answer anywhere else. He had a broker. He didn't have a guy that handled all aspects of the financial world. And the guy's like, well, call Social Security. That's not very helpful.
No, well, you know, if you're just selling stocks or just an investment person, I could see that. But when you're, you know, working in the five pillars, and I think it's a really big important part of making income decisions and correlating to assets that generate income. I think it's an important part. And this is something that is not easy. It's a really big decision. And I don't make money helping people with that, but it's an important part of the things that we as advisors do get paid for. But what we really get paid for is giving advice and helping them be successful in that phase of life. And that's where you've stopped. That phase of life we're talking about, retirement, is the phase of life is where you start taking money. You're no longer adding to it. So it's hard to recover from bad decisions and mistakes and market downturns. So I think that's why great advice is valuable.
You did freak me out a little bit when you said, oh, I don't know what your situation is, but maybe your dad lived to 95 and then his dad lived to like 95. He's like, well, my dad lived to 96 and his mom lived to 100 or whatever. That's a little kind of freaky there, Greg. You're like, do you have a crystal ball over there? That was a little weird.
I know. Once I had somebody not long ago say, is there something I should know?
Yeah.
Stop. Just hold on. Is there something I should know?
The force is strong with this one. Hi, Dave DeCorbier. He's watching on Facebook. Let's do Gary in Marrero. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Gary?
Hey, how you doing? I spoke to y'all a few months back when I got laid off. And got another job, and my situation is changing a little bit. And I really can't get a straight answer out of nobody. My wife retired at 62, so she gets a little tiny, tiny. I'm talking about less than tiny check. And then I'm going to be 65 in October, and my full retirement is 66 in 3 months. Now, I hear different stories. Can she draw off of mine? Like, if I retire at 65, can she draw anything off of mine? Or do I have to go to my full retirement?
What's her age? What's her age again?
She's a year older than me. She's 66 right now.
And she doesn't really have any benefits to speak of, or it's a small, small check?
$300 a month.
Okay. And do you have an idea of what your check would be at FRA?
About around full retirement would be around $2,500, $2,600.
Okay. And how long has hers been turned on?
Since she was 62. When she is 62 and a half.
Okay.
Turned it on.
So here's what's going to work out for you is when you turn yours on, she can switch to the spousal benefit, which would be half of your FRA benefit. That's not what she's going to draw, but let's just make the math simple. If yours was $2,500 a month at FRA, so half would be $1,250. And then it's going to be reduced by about 35%. That's not exact, but just close estimate. Because she started hers at 62, so that's going to carry forward. But still, she's going to get a nice increase when you do elect to turn yours on. It will increase now, hers.
Does it matter whether I turn it on at 65? Can I do it at 65 and she can still do this?
Yes.
Or do I have to go to full retirement age?
You do not have to go to full retirement age. You're going to be reduced. You're not getting your full benefit, but the spousal benefit is based on the FRA number, and it would be reduced. But she can't get a piece of that, so to speak, until you actually turn your benefit on.
Correct. Right, but as far as early or full retirement, it doesn't matter.
Right.
She'll get it either way.
Right.
Gotcha. Now, one more thing. I was told, might have been by you months ago, I'm not sure, if I go 6 months past my full retirement, I can tell I'm going to want to retire 6 months ago and get a one lump sum check?
Yep, you can get a retro benefit. We had a caller earlier in the show talk about that same situation that Social Security offers.
But only if you go past your full retirement.
Right. You've got to be past FRA. So, gotcha. And it can be less than, you could say 4 months after and say, hey, I want the retro benefit. They're only going to retro benefit to your FRA month, and the max is 6 months.
Gotcha. Now, if you got time, I got one more quick question.
Yeah, we're here for a few more minutes.
If I just stayed working right now, like I am, a regular job, and I decide I want to retire right now, So I would still get my Social Security check, but how do they penalize me as far as going forward?
Well, as far as Social Security, you're turning on the benefit as of this point. You're being penalized because you're not getting the full FRA benefit. So there's a reduction. And it's not an annualized thing. You're getting credits for each month you're going forward, or you're not getting penalized as much as each month you're getting closer to your FRA benefit. Now, you don't plan to work, so there's no income test, and hopefully you've got some other income sources to supplement Social Security.
Right. Because yeah, I get all kind of come the go-to guy everybody's always asking. I'm like, well, tune in to Gregory. You'll lay it all out for you pretty good. Because they all hear rumors from everybody, you know, and nobody really knows, you know?
Yeah, well, we know.
Well,
it depends on your birthday, you know?
I want to throw one more scenario at him, just because I'm concerned he's not pursuing it himself. What would get Gary and his wife the most out of Social Security? Would it be Gary deferring all the way to age 70 before he turns it on?
Well, see, that's where, because of the increase in benefit for him, so what's that balance? So might not be the best thing, because we're looking at what would be that point to go further, but not all the way to 70, because, see, she can't increase her benefit until he does.
Right. And it's a nice balance. I want to go less.
Yeah, so.
Originally, I wanted to go further, but in circumstance change, my health is not as good as it used to be. And, you know, family situation changed. And I want to kind of, because Corona kind of changed everything. You know, I'm like, maybe I need to just call it a day and enjoy my family while I can.
Yeah, I hear you there. And that's part of it. Health is a decision, and work environment's part of the decision as well.
I travel 3 hours a day. Oh. I lose 3 hours of pay, hour and a half both ways.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, just nice and fun.
Sounds like you live in L.A. or something with a commute like that, traffic. Some parts of the country, people are not going very far but stuck in traffic for a long time. So you have a little bit more of a run. But just a couple last points there on what your options are is you're considering retiring before FRA, but you're not too far out from that. So it's not much penalized. Your wife's going to get a nice bounce up. And you've got built a pretty good benefit, so you make pretty good money, and you're leaving a much larger survivor benefit for her.
Well, the thing is, with her, if she gets the bump up in mine's total, it would probably be as much as I'm bringing home right now working.
Wow.
You know, so those two combined would pretty much balance out, you know?
Yeah, awesome. Well, if you have some more questions, need some more help on correlating all this, you know, you as well as everybody else, just call my office during the day.
The only other question I got is, how's the Corvette running?
Oh, I sold that Corvette. Yeah.
You going to buy a mid-engine?
No. Well, you know.
What are you putting around in thing. Now?
My daily's a Ford Raptor.
No, what are you racing in these
days? My racer, the race car is a Camaro ZL11 LE is my track car right now. So it's a good horsepower car.
Spend them time.
All right, man. It was nice talking to y'all again.
Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Gary. And Gary sounded almost like hesitant, maybe even a little embarrassed, but we hear that a lot. I was planning on deferring all the way, but, you know, things change. And I think I'm going to retire earlier than I planned.
Yeah, he's probably a little bit tired from the commute, it sounded like. He is worried about his health, COVID's affected things. So those things, and then he does the math that when she gets the switch to the spousal benefit along with his, they're pretty good on money. So that's all important parts of the decision. See, it isn't always the best thing to wait. In theory, you get more by deferring, but is that the best thing in every situation? And I'll say no.
Hey, I still got to ask because I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm asking just like he was. All right, if you want to be next, it's 504-260-0995. When you do the wind down with Social Security, do y'all cover retro benefits? Because that's pretty down in the weeds. That's not like a top-level Social Security discussion.
Well, sometimes I do in that. The thing is, you know, I try not to make our wind downs too long, or we'd need to get more wine. Think about that. So we don't want to keep, but you know, we could talk, look, we talk about so much on the show about Social Security, and we're rarely repetitive. It, you know, listeners come tune in and they're like, oh, they're talking about that again. Well, we're talking about Social Security, but gosh, there's so much to it. It never sounds repetitive. So I just, you know, I want to keep the wind downs under 50 minutes.
All right. If you're looking for a financial advisor, start your search with my buddy across the table. Go to GregoryRicks.com or call his office 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker, and we are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.